Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Oh, my wife's on the phone.
Oh, hey.
Hello.
Hi.
You're calling yourself in?
I'm not calling myself in. I don't tailgate, Chaz. I get mad when I'm tailgated. It's a huge pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, no, I know you do.
Oh, it drives me crazy. Remember the story that I told you a few weeks ago? So I was traveling on, I'm not going to say what street I was on. I was on a state road, and it was like 10 o'clock in the morning on a weekday. So it was like no traffic. I pull out in my car. I'm cruising down. Everything's fine. And then, you know, I'm already on the road for about 60 seconds, and I look in my rearview mirror. There is a car so close to the back end of my car that I can only see his windshield. So on me,
you can count his nose
and
hairs.
I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah,
yes. And now I'm like, I want to brake check him so bad, but I really love my car. And I'm like, all right. So I just tap the brakes. I do a little tap. He backs off. I'm like, okay. I keep going. I'm going. It's like 35 miles an hour. I'm going 55 on this road. It's easy to speed on that road. And he's on my butt again. And I'm like, okay, fine. I look in my rearview mirror. Now he has both middle fingers up, and he's waving his hands out. His
jeez.
Mouth is going. You can see he's really young.
Just put the red lights on.
What is he? What is he mouthing?
What his middle finger is saying.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. He's saying, hi, Jennifer.
No, wasn't that.
And so then I'm like, okay, I just kept going, didn't touch my brakes. I'm like, I'm ignoring this craziness. He puts a signal on to turn into a driveway of where he was going.
A school.
And I see him now. What's that?
A school.
Yeah, a school. And now as he's going to turn in, I see a signal on. He starts slowing down and backing off of me. Now I just slow down to a crawl as he's going to turn in. So now I'm blocking him to enter his area.
Nice.
And then he went crazy again. And then he's going, pull over. I'm like, oh, my God. And I just took off.
No, cardigan, but thank you.
Okay. You participated in this event.
I did.
You realized that.
Did.
Okay.
Those students had a great first period.
It was a lunch lady.
Yeah. And you know, not for anything. I know it's stupid to engage and all that stuff, but I didn't brake check him. I brake tapped him. But once he's waving both middle fingers, I'm like, oh, listen, little man.
Okay. Would you be willing to put a dash cam in your car?
I think they're so sparky, but if you wanted me to, I would. If you pay for it, I'll put it in.
I'll pay for it.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
I have access to the footage.
All right.
Okay.
Damn, I got to drive slow for a while.
Yeah.
That means I can't pick my nose.
it's facing out.
It's facing,
pick away. It's facing
it's
out.
It's facing away from you. Just don't flick it forward.
No, the cameras have both.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. In that case, don't.
Quick, snot rocket.
Get the Italian handkerchief.
Okay, tailgater.
I'm not a tailgater. You know, you were like the worst reformed driver ever because you were the most aggressive driver. Now that you're reformed, you're better than everybody.
Yeah, it's like I used to be a smoker, and now I'm a pain in the ass non-smoker.
You're a born-again driver.
That's what happens.
Born
once
again
you
driver.
Get better at things, you're better than everybody.
I'm much better than I used to be with road rage. By far better than
you
I
are.
Used to be.
But
I am.
You tailgate.
This is like a meeting.
I don't tailgate, hon.
You tailgate.
This is like a meeting.
Right. I'm going to work now. Okay, love you. Bye.
Danielle in East Haven. I believe our first lady.
Good morning, everybody.
To call in a road rage story. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what happened?
How's everybody?
Good. You sound
agitated.
You sound like you feel guilty.
A little
about
embarrassed.
Something.
Yeah.
A little embarrassed.
Parked. What did you do?
Yeah, I'm not too proud of it, but I was leaving work, driving through downtown New Haven, and it was after my workday was over, so I was wound pretty tight to begin with. And as I was leaving, it was when all that construction mess was happening up by College Street, and a utility truck started coming over, and I was trying to let him over in the middle of the construction, and then he changed his mind, and then as I proceeded to come up on his quarter panel side, on the driver's side, he changed his mind again and started running me off the road into oncoming traffic.
Oh.
So he flips me off, which totally, I just snapped. I practically broke my car horn, beeping, yelling, honking. I was hanging out my window screaming at him, and I thought we were going to pull over, so I started following him. And as we went through the red light, he basically brake checked me.
Oh.
So we were stopped. I was behind him. He was in front of me. And I absolutely lost it. I'm not proud of this, but it was probably one of my lowest moments driving. Like, it was the worst kind of road rage for me. And he just pulled his little beanie cap down over the side of his face and refused to look at me any further. Like, that's where it ended. Like, he just stopped because he started. And then when he realized that I was absolutely a lunatic, I think he realized, like, this was going to get pretty hairy. So he just stopped looking at me and literally pulled his cap over the side of his face so I couldn't see him anymore.
He's like,
and then we proceeded to get on the highway.
I'm not asking her for a date.
You're not looking
That's
at
what
me.
He said.
I don't know how many pairs of journey tickets we have, but you're going.
Yeah. You need to be in the front.
Yeah.
Skid a man.
That's one hell of a story.
Yeah, it was a rough day at work.
Wow, man.
Wow.
So what was your plan if you guys both got out of the car? What was the plan?
I was getting out, and I was going to call my husband, who is 6'8" and 300 pounds, and tell him to get down to downtown New Haven as quick as he could.
That's good. That'd work.
Yeah.
That was the plan, but, I mean, I was going to get out. I am not the type of person that's just going to back down and let somebody think they're going to intimidate me because I'm a woman. I was planning on getting out of my car and giving him a good talking to.
Yeah.
You can't run somebody off the road into oncoming traffic in the middle of downtown New Haven.
And then give them the finger!
Yeah, say, I'm sorry, my
bad.
I didn't realize.
Right. Use a blinker. Yeah. Say, oh, you know, I didn't see you. Sorry. Yeah. I mean, I don't drive a little car, so it wasn't like you didn't see me coming.
That's funny, because you got out of work, you were, like, packed. You were, like, an explosive that was packed with gunpowder.
Yep, all she needed was a catalyst.
Absolutely.
He packed it more.
And it was like, I was going with the three-strike rule.
Then the finger ignited you.
And then, boom.
Sounds like you're reliving it all over again.
Every single thing that bad happened to me that day, this guy, it got taken out on him.
That's it.
Wow.
That's fantastic. All right. Well, I'm glad it didn't escalate. Glad it ended there.
I think you left the country.
We have your number, right? We have your number? Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, cool.
You're going to Journey. Nate Wilkinson is on now, the gun drummer. Hey, how are you?
Hey, not too bad. Don't give me too much credit there. You know, I might not be that bright.
Yeah.
I'm glad you like the videos, though.
But you are armed, so we're good.
Yeah. Man, we love the videos. Do you happen to have handy one that we played yesterday or no?
Yeah.
Of course. Yes. Not you mentioned, suddenly, yes.
I forgot we should start where we started yesterday.
Sure, right.
And we have some other stuff we want to play for you. And we're linked up to Nate Wilkinson, the gun drummer, on our radio station website. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
His website's really easy to find. It's gundrummer.com. Mm-hmm.
Luckily, nobody had that domain anywhere.
That's
so
unbelievable to me.
Seriously.
I know.
I mean, you think of guns, think of drums, or vice versa.
Not really. Go ahead. How does this stuff? So you're a drummer, because some of these videos, you're drumming, and then you'll throw one stick down and grab a gun, and you'll be half drumming and half shooting. And
yeah.
It's tough.
So clearly you're a drummer. How did this idea come about? How do you get to the point where it's like, you know what I should do?
I got to step things up a little bit. What should I do here?
I got to drum and gun.
Wow.
It was just one of those days, man. I thought, you know, this would be funny. I'll hide the guns out of the shot, so it'll be a surprise. I was like, I'll make a surprise video, right? Because that gets people.
Yeah.
And so I had the snare in the shot, and I just played the beginning of this breakdown. It was a Lamb of God song called Laid to Rest. It was my first one. And I dropped the sticks and, like, pulled up the guns and started shooting. And I just sent it to my friends, and they were like, man, that's incredible. That's so funny. And we posted it online, and it got a million views in one day.
A million.
I was like, all right.
Very
in a day.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty
good.
Yeah,
we went to the bar. My brother and I, we were just like, let's go, man. This is great. Let's go celebrate. And then I woke up the next day, and it was at 2 million views. And so I just started making more of them, and it's been 2.5 years, and now it's just, like, evolving into this whole thing, and it's a great time. So
number one with a bullet.
You got to be, you know, you make it look easy. It's very dangerous.
Yes, it is. Don't try it at home.
No.
Yeah. Professional people like him, yeah, like Nate.
Well, yeah, you just want to follow some of the main rules, right? I mean, you don't want to be, you want to know where you're shooting at, and you want to keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to fire and all that. Like, you can look it up, but wherever we're shooting, we're making sure we've rented out a shooting range, or if it's at my house, I make sure I have, like, a backstop or whatever, you know.
You, but, I saw a Facebook post yesterday, you were shooting in your house.
In my house.
Wow. Yeah,
in the house, outside. You're in the kitchen shooting. The back door is open, and he's shooting out through the door.
I held my breath for that one.
But it looked it was a pump shotgun. Yeah. So what are you shooting, slugs?
The beauty about 12 gauge is you can just get, like, the target shot, and it doesn't go very far. And, I've got, like, a mile of cornfields behind me, so I wouldn't do that with, let's say, like, an AR, because those rounds can ricochet and go really far. So you really need to be careful. But with, like, a 12 gauge with shot, it just kind of dissipates. So it actually looks crazier than it is to me, and I didn't even think it was that crazy. I made a video like that on my lunch break 2 months ago, and it got like 18 million views. So I was like, all right, well, people think this is really funny, so I'll keep doing this. I made a couple since then.
I got to write this down as a phone subject. The odd thing you did during your lunch break.
But they can't top that one.
But, you know, when I think shotgun, I just think pellets spreading.
Yeah.
It doesn't spread as much as you think. Like, movies and video games make it seem extreme, but it's really not. It holds pretty tight, more than you think.
You picked a gun to the music, to the sound of the music, because it sounded like that gun outside got a little bit lower, or was that just it's not bouncing off the walls in the kitchen?
Well, it has a longer barrel, and it's also outside. Okay. So, yeah, a firearm inside is so loud. Like, if you shoot a gun in your house, you'll know what I'm talking about.
I try not to, but definitely.
Never done that.
Well, you might not did it by accident, or you have a problem with someone coming in.
Either or, yes. One of the two. Yep.
Man.
An awful lot of guns. Are those all yours? Or you borrow guns?
It depends on what video you're watching. I got a lot of different friends that have some pretty impressive private collections. So sometimes I'll go to their house if I want to use something crazy, you know, like an MG42 or like a saw or a minigun or, you know, a tank or a 50
cal. Yeah, hold on a second. So I saw the tank one yesterday. By the way, you picked my favorite tank.
Oh, yeah?
The M4A3.
Okay.
Medium sized United States Army tank. Oh, that thing is just
Sherman.
What era is that from? Yeah. Is that the 40s?
It's World War II.
Okay.
Yeah. Where do you get a tank like that?
Tanks for Us.
Well, there's someone in Texas. It's called Ox Ranch, and there's Brent Oxley owns it. This cat actually invented Host Gator back in the day, which is like, it's like GoDaddy or whatever. And he sold that off, and he bought this like 20 square miles or whatever it is in Texas. And he has this hunting ranch, but he also has this thing called drivetanks.com. And so he bought a bunch of tanks and machine guns, and you can go there with friends and like rent it out. And they have like a tank range and stuff. It's pretty cool.
What's it called? Drivetanks.com?
Drivetanks.com. Yeah. It's
kids' birthday parties.
Are
great.
Yeah.
Run down the clown.
These are the things I want to check off my bucket list. Drivetanks.com. I'm sure you could fire them too, right?
You're going to Texas, aren't you?
Yeah, you can fire the tanks. You can drive the tanks around the obstacle course. You can run over like cars with them. They even have some artillery pieces and stuff. They have this one artillery piece. It's called it's a Russian D-20, and its range is like 20 miles. Like, this thing's incredible.
Whoa.
Nice.
That's wild. We have the tank video. What's the song that you're...
Slipknot.
Slipknot.
Gotcha.
You have like a smoke machine behind the tank, right?
That was a guy that works there named Jay who threw me through a loop because I didn't know he was lighting smoke grenades. I had no idea he was doing that.
He did it.
And it was choking me out the whole time in the video. And it was like 100 degrees out there.
The making of the video.
behind the scenes.
Yep.
I saw the smoke. I'm like, it doesn't look like it's coming from the motor.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
A friend was even crazier than he is.
Couldn't believe that matched the beat. We were all going crazy over that later when we edited it.
Yeah, so you fired the tank, which was great.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then you used the mounted machine gun.
The Ma Deuce, yeah, the M2 Browning, the cyclic rate went right with the song, and then I ended it out with a Barrett 50 cal.
It's like a double kick. It was awesome.
Yeah. So I'm guessing you can't even hear the song as that thing's going, so you don't even know if it's timed out or not.
No, I can. I put earplugs in, and, well, like, earphones, right, so I can hear the song, and then I put earmuffs over. I mean, there might be certain moments that I can't hear, like when the tank is going off or something, but...
you know, just that moment.
But once the ringing stops, I'm good.
yeah. How much money do you spend on ammunition for these videos?
It just depends on what we're using. I mean... if you're using a minigun that's throwing thousands of rounds down, it might be a little more. But if you're using, like, my normal setup, probably, like, I don't know, $600 or $700
wow.
a video
for video. Ammo. Wow. And then you get, you know, a million plus views. So you're making money from YouTube on that. You have sponsors.
Yeah, like Remington.
Is this what you do for a living?
No, maybe someday, but I actually have a professional career doing something completely unrelated, believe it or not.
Teacher?
That you won't tell us.
Doctor. Lawyer.
Yeah.
He's an optometrist.
CPA.
Are you a former military?
Nope.
Wow. It's a very neat concept.
It really is. Like no one ever thought this before. It's great. Mm.
I appreciate it, man. I just got really lucky that nobody thought of it already. So I'm just running with it because now I kind of have a monopoly on it. So
yeah. Well, you're a good shooter. You could tell you're very proficient with weapons.
Yeah.
And you're a good drummer. And to combine those two passions together, it's like, who would have thought?
I'm becoming a grenade bassist.
It makes a lot of sense once you start. I'll agree.
Yeah. Y'all can start a band.
Boom, boom.
No, it goes together more than you'd think. Because even the sound waves and stuff of like a percussion instrument and, you know, explosions or guns going off, like it's all very similar. The stuff matches up more than you'd think. It's pretty crazy.
You'd lead taser too.
Nate Wilkinson, the gun drummer, is on. You know, that the tank video of you just pounding on a drum while loud music is going, I'm like, there's something very primal about this that every guy has
patriotic.
Still wired back into that brain somewhere from the beginning of time.
When you
just, it's like very tribal, just for banging caveman. On that drum and then boom.
Right.
Like, yeah!
Man! Knuckles dragged, mouth breathing.
Yeah, I love it.
Good. Awesome. That's what heavy good metal fun. Is, you know? It's just an expression of primal aggression. And
it's awesome.
It's just fun. That's why I like it. It scares a lot of people, and I totally get that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really like it, so...
Phil really enjoyed the pumpkin carving video.
Oh my God,
we all did.
I had no idea where that was going. I was like, oh, wow, this is going to like actually be artistic. And then you're just blasting it into the cement. No. I was like, oh, my God.
That's an example of the surprise video I told you about earlier. Yeah. Those are key. That's like the shooting in the gun or the shooting in the house thing that got so many views. It's that. Those are the ones that do particularly well are the surprising ones because people, when they get thrown off guard, they're like, oh, my God, I got to share that. That's hilarious.
Let's bring on Waterbury Police Chief Fernando Spagnola. Good morning, sir, and thank you for what you do.
Morning.
Morning, guys. Thanks thanks so much for all your support. And thanks for having me on.
How are your guys? Okay?
Yeah, so everybody's doing okay. All seven are still out of work. You know, the injuries range from, contusions on their bodies, from the airbags going off on their knees, wrists, and arms and faces, you know, neck strains, back strains, some of the typical injuries that you would receive in a car accident. Thankfully, no broken bones. But it's going to take them a little time to heal up, and we're hoping that they get back to headquarters soon, very soon.
So what happened? Where did it start? These people are suspected of breaking into cars?
Yeah, so Hannah Casperson and her accomplice, Thomas Crawford, who was arrested on last Friday, they've really been plaguing the greater Waterbury area for about a month or so, just been on a crime spree. They've engaged in crime, you know, mostly involving theft. They've stolen parking head meters here in the city. They've done an enormous amount of smash and grabs out of cars.
Is there that much money in a parking meter?
No. I wouldn't suggest it.
Right. Yeah. No, it's not worth the work. Yeah. That kind of masterminds.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Their antique value may be more than the money that's in them.
Okay. So antiquers, yes.
Yeah. So they just continued on this crime spree, and, you know, we had a lot of information on them. Last Friday, officers in Wilkett caught up with them as they were engaged in some theft up there. They ended up catching Crawford at a local store up there as he was trying to, as the Wilkett police chief put it, steal a cart full of meat. And then she took off, and we put a lot of information out on our social media channels and, you know, through our community. And then Sunday morning, we got information from a resident here that the car may be on a dead end in the east end of the city. So the officers went out there. Officer did a great job knowing it was a dead end. Didn't see the car, figured it may be down, you know, tucked away in the alley. Blocked the street off at its intersection with East Main. Walked down, of course, finds the car, tries to get Casperson out of it, and she takes off on him. Goes up to the intersection of East Main. Yeah, very scary. I mean, I don't know if you had a chance. There's some body camera footage that we released on the whole scene, but it's heart-pounding for sure.
When he goes up to the car and pulls on the door handle and it's locked and you hear the car start, I got my stomach turned.
Yeah.
I just thought this could turn very ugly very fast. Yeah. Here's some of the audio.
I got the street blocked. You're not going anywhere. I got the street blocked. Yep, she's taking off, but she's locked in. Hitting my cruiser. Oh my god. She's ramming my cruiser on Rutledge. Stop! There's nowhere for you to go! Stop! Stop! There's
this is why I
go.
Would never be able
Stop.
To be a police officer.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop! Stop! She's ramming my cruiser. Stop!
Oh. Now, Chief, when the officer's talking, she's ramming my cruiser. Is he calling that in so they know what's happening, or is he giving the body cam audio?
Right, no, he's on the police radio calling all that in, you know, as he's talking. He's just not narrating. That's actually getting called back into headquarters and other responding officers that are going to the area. He did an amazing job, you know, at one point. I'm sure you've all, most everybody listening, has seen the body camera footage. He drew his weapon. I mean, obviously in fear of his life, you know, and it was an incredible situation. He stayed so calm. He had a difficult backdrop. There were a lot of folks on the corner. There's a convenience store on one side, a Jamaican restaurant on the other side of that intersection. And it's a bustling intersection, even on a Sunday morning. So he had a lot to deal with and just did a fantastic job, you know, keeping himself and the community safe. You know, as Casperson, obviously she wasn't going to stop. At anything, she wanted to get out of there.
There was there's a moment, and this is just, you know, what do I know? I was thinking, why doesn't he shoot the tires out when he had a shot that was going down towards the alley and not out towards the street?
Yeah, well, I mean, that constitutes deadly force. You know, trying to disable a vehicle with deadly force doesn't match up on the force matrix.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen this often. Like, you know, listen, I'm a dinosaur. I've been here 29 years. I've seen cars run on rims for miles and miles before they stop. Shooting cars' tires out does not stop somebody from fleeing a scene. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, oftentimes certain departments use stop sticks. And, you know, we've seen a similar, you know, situation with that. I mean, you can blow the tires out, but more often than not, you're just sending somebody down the road on their rims in a car that's out of control for, you know, still a significant amount of time before you can get it stopped.
Yeah, right. So not worth the risk.
Definitely not worth the risk of shooting the tires out. No,
gotcha. And you can have ricochet problems
absolutely.
You're in
the
neighborhood.
Right.
Now check out the radiator.
And you can't account for those people not to move into the alley because they're fearful of being on the sidewalk. And
right.
You know, I mean, there's just so much going on, and it's really
and it's all happening very fast. Yes.
Very fast. Yeah. Yep.
The other thing is those windows were tinted, and you don't know if she has a gun and pulling it up. And I'm like, all of this is bad.
It's all scary. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, very scary. And then, you know, that's what our cops go through, you know, throughout the whole state each and every day. I mean, there's a lot of unknown to this job. And, you know, they get up, strap their boots on, and get out and answer the call every day.
So now, from that moment, from that body cam footage, she breaks free from that dead-end road. And what happens after that?
So he's calling all this in, so officers are responding to assist, and she ends up heading west on East Main Street towards downtown. She rams a police car at the next intersection down, which gave her access to the highway. She got up on the highway. At that point, we had several officers that were giving chase, and, you know, we called in other agencies because we knew we were headed out of town. She got on Route 8 South and followed her down into Monroe, and she got off in Monroe onto the Monroe Turnpike, and at one point...
Route 8 to Monroe, so what did she go through Shelton, like Route 8 to 110?
Well, yeah, she must have, right? Yeah. I don't have the exact direction of travel. I know you can't get to Monroe right from Route 8, but yeah, she must have gotten off on that, 25 or 110 down there.
Yeah, like either 110, 25, right?
Yeah.
But just like, I'm just trying to picture this high-speed pursuit going through these neighborhoods.
Yeah.
What do you know, like, what speeds you hit at some point, or she hit?
It wasn't super aggressive at that point because, you know, obviously her car had been damaged. She struck a couple of our cars on the highway. There was contact on the highway.
Yikes.
You know, so there was some damage. So it wasn't this insanely fast pursuit at that point. But, I mean, this Hummer is a tank. I mean, and it can move a lot of weight and, you know, That's what she was doing more so than, you know, fast driving or, you know, aggressive driving that way. It was more, you know, smashing her way out of situations.
Was that her Hummer or was it stolen?
It's a family member's. Yeah, it's a family member's.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
So at this point, like she's heading into Monroe, there's two cruisers damaged, one that was blocking the dead end. And then the other that she hit in downtown.
Right.
Right?
To the highway.
So now we have two.
Yes.
So now she's in Monroe. What happened that involved all of the cruisers?
So she tries to make a U-turn, and, you know, our cops at this point just want to bring this to an end. We have our supervisors use Tahoes, so they tried to box her in with some Tahoes, figuring that, you know, a little bit of a bigger vehicle, a little heavier. And she ended up just smashing her way out of those three Tahoes that boxed her in.
That's insane.
And then continued the opposite direction down Monroe Turnpike and ended up hitting three more police cars. When she hit the third police car, it was kind of a side swipe. She lost control of her vehicle. The road's got a pretty significant crown right there. And she ended up rolling up onto a utility pole and finally came to a rest.
Wow.
She got out of the car at that point, tried to run, and, you know, our cops grabbed her pretty quick. She had some significant injuries from the accident. She's got a broken femur and a dislocated hip, so she wasn't going to get too far.
Oh.
Damn.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad for her.
No, she did that.
It is painful.
Yeah.
She did it herself.
Yeah.
Oh,
could have just stayed there.
It could have been so much worse.
Yep.
It really could have. You know.
Talking to Waterbury Police Chief Fernando Spagnolo about this pursuit that sent seven officers to the hospital. You know, what infuriated me is reading how her backstory, you know, this is someone who probably should have been in jail and not out wreaking havoc on the public.
Yeah, so this is the problem that we deal with, you know, in policing often. You know, we understand people need help. We understand you've got to look at each case individually. But when you see these people that engage in, you know, rapid and continuous recidivism, they don't go to court when they're supposed to, they're out on probation and they're committing crimes, or even worse, out on parole and committing crimes, it's disheartening for us, you know, to continuously deal with those folks and know, not have the judicial system make other arrangements for them.
I think the public's starting to wake up to this.
It's a catch and release.
When you're seeing all of this footage of like a 70-something-year-old woman being mugged and carjacked in a shopping center parking lot in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's
got to stop.
And that's just, you know, there's a million stories. And that officer, we talked to him up.
Yep.
You know, he was almost killed by a car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's the wild, wild west. Yep. I think people are waking up to it. So, hopefully before someone gets seriously injured.
Right. Before it gets worse.
Yeah.
That's it. We want to try to stop it and you know, keep our community safe. And one of the greatest ways to do that is just take a look at some of these people that are on probation and parole. And, you know, we work very closely here in Waterbury with our probation and parole officers and you know, try to help them do compliance checks and you know, pick up their people on violations as often as we can. But, you know, one of the things that we're looking at from this whole scenario, this whole incident, is how we can do that a little bit better, how we can work with them a little bit better and just get a little more aggressive on that front.
I'm not going to put you in a situation where you're, you know.
Right.
But maybe the judges can say, you should be in jail. I think if you think you could steal a car and go bananas and then you're out on the street an hour later.
It's okay to judge this one.
I don't know.
It's okay
to judge. It seems like I could steal another car.
Yeah.
In jail longer than 20 minutes.
Right. Anyway, I don't want to put you in that spot.
Yes, of course.
I thank you for coming on. I'm glad everyone's okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there wasn't
on the mend.
More serious.
On the mend, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Well, listen, we are too. And as I said in the beginning, you know, you guys are great. I said it to Ashley yesterday, strong supporters of the police. And we really appreciate that.
We appreciate you.
Yeah. No, we do. I wouldn't be able to do it.
Seriously.
I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, you don't want us.
I'm watching it.
That's a whole nother issue.
You don't want us.
You don't want us.
We wouldn't get past the psychological part.
Yeah, no, we've been in your office a lot.
What did you do now?
It's getting pretty lean. Candidates are getting pretty lean out there, guys, so you may want to consider it, you know?
Okay.
You always have room.
Well, thank you, Chief. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so
all
much.
Right.
We're looking for a name for this bit. It's going to be karaoke. It'll be good, and then,
Right.
Yeah? You know? It's not going to all be great.
Be very
good. We need a name. It's like Connecticut Karaoke.
I like it's going to be karaoke.
It's going to be karaoke.
Right. Eventually, it's going to be karaoke.
The bad, the best,
the Connecticut. Scary.
I'm just calling what the hell is
we
this?
We used to call the bit scaryoke.
Yeah.
Oh, well, great minds think alike.
Well, or we had it, and now you're just saying it
now
years
you're
later.
It.
Or maybe because you used to listen to the show.
Right.
It's somewhere in your brain.
It's in your head, yeah.
Because it rhymes.
And great minds, really.
That's why it makes such a good name.
Anyway, we'll ask you on Facebook at another time. I just wanted you to know, we're doing a bit. We don't have a name for it yet.
Yes.
But we just thought there's a lot of talent, and then...
Not talent.
It's talent because...
Right.
They don't have the abilities that record labels look for, but it's still a talent.
Yes.
Mm. Barely Oki.
Oh.
So they barely have talent.
Barely Oki. That's in the running.
How about just plain ouch?
All right, so Jimmy Rap went out, and where did you go to get these singers?
Hey, good morning, guys. I went to 66 Church in Naugatuck.
Naugatuck.
To get these singers, and I love karaoke. I love going out to karaoke because I feel like there's three types of karaoke singers. I mean, you've got the really good karaoke singers, and then you've got the drunk people, and then you've got the really bad karaoke singers who think they're really good.
Right.
So you get the whole mix. I do like that Barely Oki name. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I went to 66 Church. It's a great bar out in Naugatuck, and it's a country bar mostly. But it's beautiful.
That's fun.
Yeah, definitely fun. Yeah, I try to mix it up. Like tonight, I'll be going to Tequila Galore in Meriden. So that's not a country bar.
No, of course not.
But that's a show run tonight by Cody Riggers. It's supposed to be an awesome show. So I'm going to hit that up and see what I can get. But there was some great talent and some not so great talent at 66 Church.
All right, and everybody gets to decide what they're listening to, whether it's great or not great.
Okay.
All right, we're going to start with who?
Yes. We're going to start with Ryan. This is a college kid from Post University, the Eagle. Ryan the Eagle.
What's your name? Where are you from?
My name is Ryan Mosier. I am from Queensbury, New York.
And Ryan, do we have your permission to use this audio on the radio?
Oh, are you kidding me?
What brings you down to Naugatuck, Connecticut, my friend?
Post University, baby. Come on now, the Eagles.
I got a funny thing. I know where this is going to go. Just from the intro. Right. Nick, grab my windshield next to what?
I think you can tell which group he falls into.
That's the sound I make when I walk out into the kitchen here and there's donuts.
When Ashley falls on the stairs. All right.
What's going on here tonight? A little karaoke?
A little karaoke action, a little him and her, a little how you doing?
All right.
A little him and her.
I like this guy.
A little him and her. This all in his mind right now.
How you doing?
Well, the funny part is he says him and her, but it was him and a bunch of dudes.
Right.
So there was
him and her.
He was looking for a her, yeah.
There was no hers involved.
Gotcha. All right, here we go.
At Radio City Music Hall. Say my love, I came to you with best intent.
This is Dave Matthews and Tim Rice.
Yes, it is.
It was Dave Matthews.
Yeah, I don't even know.
It was.
Yeah.
Intent shown you. You laid down to give to me just what I'm seeking. Oh, say, love you, drive me to attraction.
All right, let's get an eagle crow or whatever it is for post.
Sounds like a bunch of crows.
Dude.
They've multiplied.
They need more fiber.
Yeah. Well, you'll notice that there's one singer there, and that's I think these guys are in the running to maybe have a date with the Cult of Cali and Classy Cassidy, because there was five or six of them there, and they were all pretty much doing the same thing the girls were doing. They just were not as drunk.
All right, so what do our judges think? Ashley?
100%. He committed and he performed. I like his energy.
AJ? 100% should be committed.
Well, I give it a B- on execution, but an A+ on enthusiasm.
Actually, I'm in favor of execution.
Yeah, I would advance them to the next round. It's everything you want in a performance.
Yep. Wow.
Except, you know, they didn't hit any notes. But outside of that, they have star quality.
Right.
Star quality. If you have star quality, you could make everything else better.
They hit notes that weren't written.
That's star quality.
See, that's why I hate them now, because they started this crap. Oh, my God. I'm going to get a loaf of bread and just whack you with it.
You're so violent.
I know. What's happening?
That doesn't go through you?
Now I know what sound I'm making every time I see AJ.
Yeah.
You can make a different.
Hey, everybody, look at that. It's the guy from the radio. It's AJ.
All right, I got to put gas in my truck. I got a lot of flattening to do.
Oh, man.
I love that one.
Yeah, that sound has been in my head since I recorded it and put it into the computer and put the audio together. I've been doing it around the house. My girl was like, what is wrong with you? I said, well, you never met Ryan the Eagle. Right.
So every day after the show, we pitch guests and guest ideas. And when Ashley said, does anyone interested in talking to actor Topher Grace? AJ, before the sentence was done, said, yes.
It's Eric Foreman, that 70s show.
Good morning.
What's up, dude?
Well, I'm from Connecticut, so you should have said yes faster.
Well, that came out afterwards. It was a knee-jerk reaction. It happens.
Okay, well, hey, good to talk to anyone from my home state.
When's the last time you lived here?
Oh, I never came back once I got famous.
Yeah.
No, come on, Topher.
Like most
smart.
People. Like most people. It's like, forget those people. We're out of here.
Smart.
Run!
No, I love Connecticut. My folks lived there in Darien, Connecticut, until about 3 years ago, they lived in my childhood home. So I not only would come home a lot, but I remember doing a film about 10 years ago with Robert De Niro in Connecticut. And it was in Greenwich. It was so close to where I grew up that I actually slept in my bunk bed that summer.
Nice.
And then would get picked up. You know, my mom would like make me breakfast and then I'd go to set and go to work. It was crazy.
Wow. That's wild.
Mom breakfast. That's cool.
Were you in the top bunk or the bottom bunk?
You know, this is weird. Upon reflecting on it, as I've gotten older, I always slept bottom bunk. I never went top bunk. So I don't know what the allure of a bunk bed was or why I did it. I was so young. But yeah, always bottom bunk.
Yeah.
Wait, so the bunk, was it for a sibling?
No.
What was it for? Guests?
An animal?
Your bunk bed was for guests?
I think this is my guess, because my kids are now the age I was when I got that bunk bed. I think I put a sheet over the top and it felt like a little fort in the bottom.
That's
area.
Cool.
Nice.
Okay, see? And that's still cool that's now as an adult, by the way.
Yeah.
Don't anyone judge you.
Get your little flashlight.
Exactly, right. It's your
I got
domain.
My flashlight.
Well, now that I see the weird things that my kids do, it's like, you know, I mean, kids are, I don't know what's motivating any of what they're doing.
What, how old are your kids and what weird things are they doing
yet?
We got 2 under 4. So, the answer is everything. And, it's a real adjustment. And it's actually why I started doing home economics, is because I read the script and I read scripts like that beforehand. I just didn't relate to it. And all of a sudden my character is twins. Very lucky and we don't have twins, but it felt like we had a baby during the pandemic right before I signed on for the show. And I was like, this kind of feels like we have twins. I can identify with that being underwater feeling. And it was a big motivator as to why I did the show.
Yeah, this is it's a cool show. It seems perfect for you. Home economics,
right,
on ABC. Explain the scenario here. You're a family guy.
The scenario is that there are 3 adult siblings, which shows never really take a look at that relationship. And to kind of make matters worse, our younger brother of the 3 is like a multimillionaire. He's been very successful. We all live in San Francisco. I'm kind of firmly middle class. And my sister, who is, doing great work, but doesn't get paid anything by the city, kind of is struggling. And so we're all in 3 very different places, but we all hang out together and, you know, have different opinions about the other people's lifestyles.
Oh, my God. Is this a little bit like Frasier, where the dad was, like, totally working class guy?
He was a cop. Yeah, former cop.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, it would be like Frasier if they represented more of the socioeconomic situation.
Like,
you know, San Francisco
people.
Is a really great place to do that.
I was going to say,
very little wealth gap stuff on Frasier.
Can you have middle class in San Francisco?
Is there middle class in San Francisco? I can't afford
that. Well, that's the great question of the series. Yes, I mean, he's an author, so they kind of used to be doing better, and they're kind of trying to figure it out at the same level. And a big part of the end of the season is it really starts to fall apart. But the way that we really have gotten into the class thing for the episode that's coming up is my rich younger brother, who I'm already really jealous of, has a poker group, and in it, one of his poker buddies is Mark Cuban, which is just an idea we came up with, and then Mark actually said yes.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, you want to roll that one. He's got money.
Just steal every pot.
No, incredible. He showed up, and like, we didn't know if he'd be even into doing it. He showed up, he was like off book, he was really cool and great. And then he actually started like improvising some jokes, and we were like, these are funny. These are going to go on the show. And after a little while, Jimmy, who plays my brother on it, and I were like, hey, Mark, why don't you take it down a notch? Like, let us have something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you already have $7 billion.
Yeah.
You know, stay in your lane.
Yeah. Yeah, don't be
he
a
was
hog.
Too good.
Don't be a hog, Mark.
That's awesome.
That's
so
funny.
There's got to be a lot of fun humor from your rich brother. Like, hey, you ever, you know, try to park your yacht somewhere and like you booked a spot and then it's taken?
Right.
No.
Your Hyundai's in the shop.
Totally relatable.
Yeah.
I actually, yes, I know. Very relatable. I feel the same. No, it's like One of the things that is so great is that him being like otherworldly rich has opened up a lot. Like we had, you know, Mark Cuban's a great guest star for us, but we had the season opener. We went to Levi Stadium where the 49ers play. And my character knows nothing about sports. And I started explaining, you know, we're in like the luxury box. I'm explaining to this guy how football works because I kind of looked it up on a Wikipedia page. The night
before. Instant knowledge, yeah.
And so, like, you know, it's like explaining football to Jerry Rice. And then in this one, I'm kind of like explaining like finance to Mark Cuban. And it's just like, it just opens up this great, you know, it's a great way to have on guest stars who aren't normally the guest stars you'd have on, but they've both really killed it.
Nice.
That's awesome. What a great show, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're just happy someone from Connecticut's doing well.
Right.
Yeah.
And then left.
He was smart enough to get out.
Yeah. You blame him.
One of the good ones.
Yeah.
There he goes. Bye, Topher.
Topher Grace. Thank you for coming on, man. We appreciate
it. Well, thank you guys for having me.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. No, I really appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Oh, no. Thank you for all the great memories and future memories.
Yes.
Yes.
This was the Chaz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.